Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, 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 one and all, to Cooking Like a Pro, here with Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista.
Hello. Yeah, I gotta say, I just love our intro.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Johnny Elias on that one. Just a wonderful riff from the past. But we appreciate that as well. And also, you know, the end, and it's Cooking Like a Pro, C-L-A-P, clap. So that's our clap intro. But anyway, you found us here on KCNR 1460 AM 96.5 FM. If you'd like to call in or send a question that you'd like us to answer, anything food or cooking related, you can send that in to cookinglikeapropodcast.net. cookinglikeapropodcast.net. Or you can give our engineer a call, Ben. He's in there right next to the phone. If you'd like to have him patch you through or just give you a question, we can do that either way at 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. So I was talking a little bit about flavor. That was one of the things that made the difference, back in 96 when we competed in Europe. And I can tell you that, you know, we would not have won, I would not have an Olympic gold medal. Let's just put it that way. If it wasn't for flavor. Flavor was just the emphasis of everything that we modified in those last days of working up to the competition in Berlin, Germany. And it was just an amazing experience. But flavor can often be bypassed by a lot of things. And it can also be, you know, overplayed. And, as far as being, you know, bypass. Sometimes we'll take a look at something and we'll take the presentation of it or the aroma or some other component, and we're not truly looking for that, the depth of the flavor. And the other side of that is when we mask things. We mask them with fat. We mask them with sodium. And I think, well, if not, I think, I mean, I know for a fact that if you can start to try to place an emphasis on understanding, developing that understanding of being able to taste food for its pure natural flavors that it offers, you're going to enjoy eating and thus enjoy life a lot better.
So I think probably the tip would be to start understanding individual flavors. So instead of addressing having, you know, five different components to it, taste the radish. Taste mm-hmm. the vegetables going on. Yeah, now understand every individual piece before you coat it in something.
Yeah, and I think we'll take, let's take a blueberry. You know, people say, oh, look at a blueberry. What's that taste like? Tastes like a blueberry. Okay, well, what does that taste like? Well, it's a blueberry. Yeah, I know it's a blueberry. So it's got fruity components. It's got a sense of acidity to it, depending on how ripe it is. It certainly has a sweetness to it. It can have any number of things. It could have even a little bit of bitterness that comes from the tannin. I mean, anything that has an exterior, think of it as a grape. The outside of the grape, the peel itself, is where you get the tannin from that and from the seeds. So when you crush something, depending on, you know, the weight of the crush, I mean, you'll get, you know, either a greater degree or lesser degree of tannin, but the point is you go back to that one item and you take a bite of steak. What are you tasting in that steak? Are you getting all the way to umami, or are you just tasting, you know, all the Montreal seasoning that's on top?
And I think you're talking about flavor, just the intrinsic flavor. This is a blueberry flavor. This is a peach flavor. This is a steak flavor, but flavor also includes texture. I think texture is a huge part of it. You know, if you go back to that blueberry, there's that little bit of resistance in the skin. You know, is it a dried blueberry? Is it a fresh blueberry? That completely changes the outcome and the taste of how it, you know, come across.
Yeah, well, and basically what you do when you're trying to separate flavors, you go for the five that are out there, the four plus the one, this, you know, the sweet, sour, bitter, salty, and umami. Those are those flavors that we pick up that that you find in most anything. You'll find some variety of those, if not all of them. But when you get to things like fat and spice, those are textural components. Those aren't flavor components because they're part of the sensation of the eating. For example, spicy isn't one of the five flavor components, but it is a sensation that you get from the capsaicin when you eat a chili pepper.
Yeah, they call that irritaste. Well, it's causing an irritation to your taste buds.
Yeah. So, and well, and speaking of taste buds, you know, we all have them. They do grow back, and I know that in the studies I've had, as you get older, your taste buds begin to decrease, and that's really one of the challenges that people will have. And I can look at this from my mom and dad's standpoint. I know they're listening, so I don't want to get in trouble. But sometimes we'll over-enhance things because they can taste less because they have less taste buds. I mean, it's real easy to oversalt something. It's really easy to over-season or over-spice something because you're not picking it up. You know, the biggest challenge I had for this was COVID. You know, all those years back when I lost my taste, I didn't know I had COVID until I couldn't taste anymore.
And also when you have a cold, fragrance, aromas, that lends to taste also. Taste is, and we have that book called Taste by Barb Stuckey. It's very fascinating to look at from a scientist's point of view how we taste and even how we look at things and how things sound when that sizzling platter comes to the table. That affects, it's got that mouth-watering thing that makes you salivate. There's so many factors involved.
Yeah, she was a nice lady. I'm actually, she signed that book for me in, I was up in Seattle and I ran into her. She was one of the keynote speakers at an ideation, food, convention type thing that I was invited to or chosen for. And, I listened to her talk. I really enjoyed it, but it was probably 2 inches thick and it's just on taste. So we think of taste like, okay, this tastes like chicken. Yeah. But, you know, and that's mainly because chicken is just that the natural flavor that is most identifiable because it's kind of, you start off with chicken and kind of go from there. You know, you go this direction towards seafood or maybe this direction towards beef. But flavor is much more complicated than we recognize it for. And I think that the more you can, I mean, we don't need to get into a 2-inch thick book to learn how to taste. But I, again, drawing this full circle, coming back to being able to get the most out of the food. You know, I mean, we were raised on something like venison. Venison, of course, tastes quite a bit different than beef. But enjoying that stronger, more robust flavor. Some people use the term gamey. I don't like to use the term gamey because it kind of has a negative connotation to it. But again, there's a different, lamb is going to have a different flavor. Lamb that's grown in from different areas. Lamb from Australia tastes a lot different than lamb from New Zealand, which all tastes different from lamb in America. You know, you are what you eat.
If you were to take someone through an exercise,
uh-huh,
how would you teach them to pick out the different flavors? Let's just start with vegetables. You know, meat's a whole different category. How would you differentiate, you know, herbs from greens, from lettuce? Would you take them through each, you know, one? How would you do it?
You know, the easiest way to do it is you would need, you know, more than one person. And, well, I guess you could do it with one, but more than one person. And you just blindfold them and then give them something. Give them a piece of radish. Then give them a piece of daikon. Maybe don't start off with that. Maybe start off with a piece of carrot.
Yeah, those are pretty strong.
So they can. Well, the problem with daikon and radish is they're both in the same family, and that would be something that you'd really have to be fairly in depth in being able to taste.
But would you also, like you said, a carrot? Would you take someone just like you do with a wine flight? You start with the white, you go with something lighter and sweeter, then you move your way to something bolder and spicier. You know, radish can be very spicy.
Very, very hot,
hard for a lot of people to handle, but a carrot. So would you take them through a progression like that?
Yeah. Again, I think that them being able to focus on the taste, and as you mentioned earlier, that even the appearance makes a difference. That's one thing I would look at is blindfold so they can't see it. Okay, maybe cut it in a little square and just have them taste it. Does this taste like carrot? Maybe it's another little cube, and it's cut out of a broccoli stem. Can they pick up the flavor of the broccoli? Because until you learn that, you're not going to really be able to enjoy the expanse of it. You might enjoy it, and that might be fine. But for me, it's always been the depth of the flavor that we can understand, the more we're going to enjoy it. All right, so we'll leave it at that. We'll take a quick break. Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal, Miss Chef, we will be back in just a moment.
Want fish cakes and rye bread? You heard what I said. Waiter, please. I want mine fried. I want the frippin' friends sauce with the olives and bay. With Chef Papa on the side.
Red Bluff Roundup is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets on sale now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com. It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Corning Ford. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Creed Fisher.
Tell me that you understand.
And Sunday is Davidson and Heyman Family and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Henry Clay Warhawk Rebellious. Backed by popular demand, this limited edition Toro is sure to please. Another fine example of Nicaraguan tobacco blended by AJ Fernandez. Complex, smooth, chocolatey Habano wrapper, a satisfying smoke with a clean finish. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. I'd like to take a quick moment here to thank Charlie's Tap House, formerly Mary's Pizza Shack, for sponsoring the Cooking Like a Pro podcast. They're located just south in the Gateway Shopping Center, and whether you're looking for an authentic homemade pizza, a juicy burger, a delicious sandwich, a crisp, fresh entree salad, or a scrumptious selection of appetizers, they have it, and there no meal will be complete without fresh, creamy Italian gelato, so try that as well, made in-house. So Charlie's is the place for you for a relaxing lunch gathering or a fabulous family dinner out. And don't forget the North State's premier beer wall, wide selection of amazing adult beverages, and an array of icy cold beers, and also crisp ciders. Krista likes the ciders. And they also have their new Charlie's. They're very excited to announce their Adventure Room, Charlie's Adventure Room, serving all your kids' birthday needs. Gigantic room full of colorful, bouncy houses for them to jump, bounce, leap, and play in, as well as super fun arcade room. And you can actually top it off with Charlie will come in, and the master pizza maker will show the kids how to make their own pizza, all in the friendly family Charlie's atmosphere, and also reap the savings of Charlie's exclusive rewards program for returning diners. Check it out and sign up at charlie's.com. That's charlie's.com, where great food, fun, and family come together. And we always do appreciate that. And I did mention the bumper earlier. If you want to find that, it's just because it's a cool song. You can look for Singing My Heart Out. It was actually by John Castellari, but it's a great song, and he allowed us to be able to use a little piece of that. So we thank John for that, for singing my heart out, and he's singing his heart out on our show. So, and so we talked about this term, we've mentioned it in the past, it's called mise en place. Mise en place spelled M-I-S, second word, E-N, last word spelled place, P-L-A-C-E. And it's having everything together before you start. And I have a story about this. It's an unfortunate story. I'm actually looking at the newspaper article. Now, a newspaper, for those who are listening that don't know what that is, it's actually a printed material that when I was a kid in the 60s, we used to deliver these to people's homes. Then they would pick these up, and they would look at them.
First, they'd have to open them, unfold them.
Yeah, they'd take them out of the plastic if it was raining. They'd take the rubber band off, and they would look at those. And from looking at those, they could get information about things that were going on all around their city and sometimes even their county.
And the world.
Well, I don't think they got as far out in the world as it does now. You know, now we just go to our phone. Back then, if you went to your phone for information, you were just staring at a phone. It wasn't going to do anything for you.
You had to dial 411.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this newspaper. What's it dated? August 29th, 1996. My goodness. It's almost been, almost been 30 years.
Almost 30 years.
Since we won the gold. So this is a beautiful article. It's got a beautiful picture in it, a picture of some foods, one of the salads that I did for this event. It was actually a fundraising event that we did at Spago's down in Beverly Hills, down in, I guess it would be northeastern, I guess, you know, Los Angeles area. I did this real contemporary California Nisswa salad with ahi. Really cool. Had a little head, couple crackers, one shaped like a head, one shaped like a tail coming out the sides.
What is a Nisswa salad?
Nisswa is a French style salad. It generally includes certain items. It's a light vinaigrette, but you're always going to find capers. You're also going to find potato, ahi, tuna of some sort, kalamati olives, and that's just that, and then some kind of a fresh field greens. And those are the main, you know, components that you can find in it. And, it's actually Nisswa. They have an actual olive that's called a Nisswa as well. And generally have some tomato in there, and usually haricot vert would be the last thing. So the haricot vert is just, means bean. Haricot is bean, and vert, V-E-R-T, is French for green. So it's a green bean.
It's a French green bean.
Yeah, French green. And usually they're real small. You know, pencil, it's probably a little thinner than a pencil. Beautiful, tender. You can see them. You can buy them in the store. Haricot verts. I'm not sure if they call them haricot verts.
They've got them at Costco in big packets you can get.
Mm. Anyway, so they're great. So it's this traditional salad that we made. And actually, when it comes to the mise en place, the challenge of it was that we did this event a ways away and maybe a two, three hour drive. We prepped this event and brought the ingredients there. And we made one mistake, and that was in the mise en place. You always check the mise en place. Make sure you have everything before you start. And
so did you make the mistake before you drove there or after you got there?
No, it was something that I drove there and we forgot the little potato discs.
So you didn't bring them with you?
Didn't bring them with me. So I actually got to go out on the line at Spago's. I don't know if anyone's ever been there, but it's just a huge window. Kind of an open display kitchen, what we call, so you could see everybody cooking. And I was right there in the middle of them in the deep fryer, slicing my potatoes and frying them up in the little discs, and then looking around, watching all the commotion going on, looking out at the window overlooking Beverly Hills. And it was interesting. I was looking at this. As I'm putting the cookbook together, I'm kind of reliving a lot of these things and the just closets full of stuff that I've accumulated. I'm gonna shout out to my mom. She is so good at making quilts, and she's made me quilts for a lot. She's made me quilts for me and Mrs. Chef's wedding, using all those materials. She made me a quilt with all of my past chef coats.
Yeah, they're memory quilts.
Yeah, that's hanging on the wall. They have a name. They're called memory quilts.
Well, it's like a scrapbook. It's almost like a scrapbook. Well, it's built into a...
Well, she gave me a quilt. She also gave me a quilt for a little baby in Romania. When I went there to work in a baby hospital, and I think it was 2003 or 2004. And she'd given me a blanket to give to a little baby, and the Lord showed me just a beautiful young little boy that I spent a lot of time with. Little Costine. Well, that was a long time ago, too. He's got to be 30 now. Well, just hopefully his life has gone well. But I'm looking at this picture, and it's got me and Wolfgang Puck in the middle of it, and it's got Chef Russell and Joe to the right of the picture or to the left of Puck, and then Scott Graves, actually, he lives back up in this area. He was my first graduated apprentice, and he went to Germany with me as well, and then Roger and Bill. But it was a great event. But mise en place is always important. Have everything before you start.
How do you think you missed that? Did you not have it written down, not highlighted?
No, I know exactly how I missed it. We had ovens that we were working out of and a variety of things, and they were all put in a pan, and they were set up on top of an oven because it was warmer up there, so to make sure that they stay crisp. And they're still there, and it's probably some janitor ate them, like the most costly potato chips ever.
So who would have been responsible for having the final? Should you have, if you're working in a situation like that, should you have a second person that's got the final check?
Well, you should have a list, and it's just something that every once in a while things get missed. And, that's the importance of mise en place. You don't start making clam chowder and get halfway through it and realize you got no potatoes.
And then you got to go to the store.
And that kind of stuff. So anyway, so I wanted to talk a little bit of, and this kind of goes back into the first segment about flavor. And what I wanted to discuss was background flavor, picking these things up. And you need to set up a background flavor. And again, I'm going to talk a little bit about this in the next segment as well. He was, the master of French cooking, Escoffier. He was the one that wrote the book, which is considered the Bible of French cooking. And it was the first book that I had on it. I have it, what's left of it, I have it in front of me here. It's a little tattered, and it's glued. That's partially glued, partially taped back together. And I wanted to read something about that, about his cooking philosophy. But so much of it had to do with this mise en place and this picking up the flavors of food. And what you want your foods to have is this really good background flavor. But it's something that's, and it's a little challenging to explain, because it's something, what I'm asking you to do is to put flavors in something that you can't detect. So they build up the foundational flavor of something, but they're in the background.
I think one way you could describe it is if you looked at a picture of somebody and they're standing there, what's behind them? Is it a blue sky? Is it a cloudy sky? Is it a city skyline? It's there. You could see it. It's, the first person you see is what, jumps out of the picture. But if you really start looking at it, there's a background to it that adds to the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing in food. What's their background? It's not right there jumping out at you, but it is there and is part of the whole thing that you're putting together.
Having that background flavor just keeps the dish from falling off the cliff. So you got a nice, let's say you, like, I was over at Mom and Dad's the other day, and Mom had this beautiful skirt steak that she cooked, and it had these wonderful flavors. I have something that I call secret salt. Okay, you can buy the cookbook when it comes out, and I've talked about it here quite a bit.
It's actually on the website.
Secret Salt is? Okay.
Secret Salt's on the website.
How do they find it?
CulinarilyYours.net.
CulinarilyYours.net. So I'm over at Mom's, and she's got her version of, we'll call it Mom's Secret Salt. But she'll take the 16-ounce Lowry's, and she'll dump it out, and mix in a half a cup of black pepper and a half a cup of granulated garlic, and then put it back in the shaker. I heard all doesn't fit back in there, but that's the flavor that she wants. And that goes on just about everything. And it's fine. It's that background flavor that has pepper, it has salt, it has a celery flavor. It's got all the garlic and the onion and everything you would expect.
That was the blend we put on everything, burgers growing up. We would take the Lowry's, sprinkle across the top, granulated garlic, and black pepper. That went on everything growing up.
And it's not complicated, but it's something that needs to be there, and it needs to be that background flavor on everything. I mean, you don't want to over-season it, but you do want to be able to taste that. And I know that even going back to my first restaurant, Di Mercurio's, the reason that restaurant was so successful and to be able to last, the average restaurant, lasts about 6 months, and we were there for 18 years. And the reason I put the reason, a large, huge reason on the success is the fact of the secret salt. Because it was that background flavor. Ours was just salt, white pepper, and granulated garlic. But it gave everything that bad. Nothing tasted bland. Everything started with that. Then after that, you would taste the forefront flavor, as in maybe it's lamb or it's beef or it's salmon or it's halibut, it's sea bass, it's clams, it's razor clams, whatever it happens to be. It had that background flavor to start from. And when you start from that background flavor, you're always going to have a more well-received dish. So
I think a background flavor could also be, you know, something you started with and also something you finished with, because you can sometimes finish with seasoning salt.
There you go.
Start with it.
Start and finish. All right, we'll be right back after this break. Cooking Like a Pro, you have found us. We will be back in just a moment.
In Napoli, when love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
The Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International 31st Annual Banquet will be Saturday, April 26th at the Wind River Event Center. Doors will open at 5 p.m. There will be games, live and silent auctions, and drawings, which will include over $35,000 in prizes for hunting, camping, and plenty of items for the ladies. We look forward to a fun evening in support of the world's largest wildlife conservation organization. To purchase tickets, go to scireading.org. That's scireading.org.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Experience Gloaming Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Gloaming Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
For this is the night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it a Valentine.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. All right. Well, you know, one of the things that I discussed very in-depthly in the cookbook is that the need for convenience basis. And again, when we're looking, as we were talking in the previous segment about this having this, you know, this very deep flavor, something that you can really grasp onto, that really will come quite often down to that base or that stock that you used. And actually, Escoffier, again, the father of French cookery, if you want to think of it in this way, Julia Child studied at this Escoffier school in France and took that understanding and brought it to America. And so she was kind of credited for that crossover of bringing French cuisine to the United States. But when we go to the original book, The Basic Principles of Cooking, I just want to read this. Okay, this is what Escoffier says. It's the groundwork whereupon these recipes are built. So when we're looking at the basic fundamental principles, the basic elements of cooking, and again, he says that it would not be complete In many cases, it would be incomprehensible if this one thing was missing. The importance of the part that this is played, this is in what he's referring to is the stock. The stock is indeed everything in cooking, at least in French cooking. Okay. And having an understanding of just this faultless preparation of a stock is necessary. And when I was trained through my French apprenticeship, it was in the late 70s and early 80s. That was in the 19th century. This was, boy, that makes me sound old. This was where everything started. It was so important that you had the right bones and you had the right vegetables. And many times I noticed in some kitchens throughout my career where the pot of boiling liquid with the bones in it and the vegetables was often kind of used as kind of almost a garbage can. People come by and they'd just throw in tomato peels or maybe throw in some leftover parsley or whatever it was. But you do always want to start off with the highest quality if you want to finish with the highest quality product. And that was real necessary, especially when I became a associé where that's literally all I did. For every day I got to work, that's all I did was work on the sauces, up until the time where it was, dinner, was open, and then I was running the dinner line. But it's just important. And again, it's, garbage in, garbage out, where you have to start with the highest quality products. You don't just throw in carrot peelings. For one, something like carrot peelings are going to get real bitter if they overcook. So you want some nice carrots that have been peeled and the flesh has been taken off the outside. So, having that care, that scrupulous care and preparation is really half the battle. And that's one of the most important things. And you can take, almost any recipe that's written out there, but if you don't go through the steps very carefully with a great amount of care, there's a good chance that you're just not going to end up with the product that you could have.
What I find interesting is we're kind of researching how people put together their cookbooks as we're building yours. I would say the real hardcore chefs, the ones that really care about cooking, almost all of them begin with a stock section.
Mm-hmm.
And, because there's that French cookery background. I was looking at Eric Repair's, book from El Bernadon, or Le Bernadon, and everything starts with the stock. Everything. That was the very first chapter, and there's so many cookbooks start that way. And it is the foundation.
And I think a big part of that also is just the discipline that it takes to know that that's where you have to start. You have to be disciplined. And to do anything really well, I think that, first most important is really knowing that you have to have discipline to do it correctly. You don't take shortcuts. And this would be in anything, maybe in athletics, maybe in finances. Whatever it is that you're doing in parenting, whatever it is that you're doing, you can't take those shortcuts. You need to make sure that you're disciplined to do it. And it's probably quite often not the easiest way. But if you want to have that end result at the highest quality, whatever it is, I think that it's important. Well, I know that it's important that you follow that. And there's a number of things that they talk about here. When Escoffier, or when I use the term fond, F-O-N-D, it's not that I'm fond of someone. Fond is those particles of flavor that are in the bottom of the pan that you build from. But you'll start off with stocks, which you can turn and clarify them, and then you get something which the French call a consommé. I don't know if anyone listening has heard that before. But then you have your different types of stock. You've got your brown stock, which also is your game stocks, your white stocks, which is basis for white sauces, fish stock, where you get your sauces for either any kind of fin fish generally, but also for shellfish as well. And then it just kind of goes down from there. But every book, as Krista mentioned, that starts off about cooking starts off with those basic fundamental principles.
And it is a foundational technique that you start in a cooking school, but at home you're most likely not going to do that. You can if the Costco chicken people, anybody that gets the rotisserie chickens, you can make stock so easy, very regularly. Now, making a fish stock is not something people are going to be making all the time, but you can very easily have chicken stock, especially after Thanksgiving, turkey stock, and then freezing it, having it on hand. You can have fresh stock, but if you don't have the time or the patience to make a stock, what do you do?
Well, then you can go with convenience spaces, but I want to touch on one thing that you just mentioned, too, when you talk about that Costco chicken rotisserie. If you were to, let's say you eat some of the chicken and maybe you even keep it in the bag, it's in a container, you set that in the fridge, that jelly portion at the bottom, that gelatin, that's the fawn. That's where the basis of that flavor comes from. We used to call it liquid gold. Anytime you would get something that was gelled, we call it liquid gold because that gel needs to come from the gelatin, which the gelatin comes out of bones. So those bones have to be cooked. So what you have is in going back to the roasted chicken, you've got all of that flavor and juice and moisture and gelatin that's coming out of the entire chicken, including the carcass. And that's where you get that. And if you boil something down enough, then, you know, like in the French, you'll take a French sauce and you boil it down by half and you get a demi-glace, G-L-A-C-E, demi meaning French for half. And the more you reduce it, the more flavor you get. But if you can't get that, as Krista just asked, you really want to go to a convenience base. And even though I have this fond memory of making things from scratch, convenience bases is pretty much what anybody uses. I doubt that, well, I'm sure that the percentage of people that make stocks, and I would recommend it, making them, understand how they're made and the flavor you can get out of them. But there are companies that make these, and they're just convenient. So they can be a paste base, a liquid base. So these are flavor concentrates. Okay, so concentrated chicken in a bottle, or concentrated chicken in a paste, or concentrated chicken in a powder. And the quality is always going to be higher quality when you're looking at the liquid flavorings, as opposed to the paste flavorings, and then the least being the powdered ones. And mostly because if you look at the powdered ones, you'll see the number one ingredient is always going to be salt. You want the number one ingredient, if you're going for chicken, you want the number one ingredient in the list of ingredients to be roasted chicken.
So growing up, I think all of us remember bouillon cubes and Swanson chicken broth. That's yes. Pretty much what we had available to us in the regular grocery store. These bases were more professional access, mm-hmm. and now they are starting to move them into residential home access through Better Than Bouillon, things like that. So it's Better Than Bouillon, which was, you know, almost pure salt. And then, you know, if you still go to, say, like a cash and carry, which we now call Chef Store, you can get a liquid concentrated. So you can start using those chef professional level bases by going to a chef store.
Yeah. Well, and again, this goes back to what we even started today discussing, and that's picking up that true natural flavor. Not just picking up sodium, or not just picking up fat, but picking up the natural true flavor of whatever it is that you're doing. And convenience spaces have come a long way. And there's a lot of them that are out there. I know a lot of chefs that work for companies that's what they make, whether it's Schreiber or Miner. There's a bunch
Knorr.
Of different. Knorr is another one. So they got chefs and they have big pots and, you know, that you can swim and drive your vehicle in that they boil down and then make these different convenience products, but that's why they're convenience, because they're saving you the time and having to boil that out yourself.
So what we use is the concentrated liquid one, and we actually don't even use it necessarily for stocks. For making soups, we will actually use it as a seasoning. I put it in refried beans, just get that little bit of chicken flavor in things. We use it more that way than actually making stocks.
Yeah, and again, if you're using it for soup, you're using it for almost anything, it's going to give you that flavor, and it's going to give you that flavor without having to go through the long process of getting ingredients. And you can find, you know, bones that have been cut up. You can go to your butcher and tell them that you want these certain things. I mean, I'd always develop a really good relationship with my butchers or my mongers, my meat mongers, my seafood mongers, because I use those products that quite often either other people don't use or they might even just throw them out. But again, go to the section of the store. As my wife mentioned, going to a store that just sells to restaurants, you're much easier going to find these. But you'll find the paste bases and the powdered bases. But again, the paste being better and the liquid being best. And it's one of those things that's in the pan. It's a staple. It needs to be something that's a staple in your pantry.
It is concentrated flavor. They say right on it. It's concentrated.
Yes. It's something that you need to have, just to have it at a quick reach. It's just a moment's notice. So make sure you have your convenience bases, someplace where you can find them quickly, and because it's something that you're going to use all the time. So we're going to go ahead and take our last break on Cooking Like a Pro. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Not zucchini, fettuccine, bulgur wheat, but a big warm bun and a huge hunk of meat. Cheeseburger in paradise. Have an order with an onion slice.
Red Bluff Roundup is on. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets on sale now at the Roundup office or online at RedBluffRoundup.com. It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday, brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Corning Ford. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Creed Fisher.
Tell me that you understand.
And Sunday is Davidson and Heyman Family and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at RedBluffRoundup.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you.
Welcome back. Welcome back at Blueberry Hill. Hey, that, I don't know, might have been a better intro to or exit from the first segment, I guess. We were talking about blueberries, but, oh, Fats Domino's got to get it out there. So I wanted to finish up talking about meat and the different things that, you know, that you can do with it. And if we go back, you know, beef really didn't really become popular until things like pork and chicken became, harder to find. And most of that really comes down to, you know, earlier in our history of our country, during like the Civil War, when everybody was fighting and you didn't have farmers that were racing things, and pork and chicken became scarce, then all of a sudden people started eating beef. And that's kind of where the beef craze started. Now, beef, of course, is available in every continent of the world. You can find it. And one of the things that we have that's a little bit of an advantage, well, I guess, in some ways, I guess maybe disadvantage, but I don't want to get political. But an advantage would be that we do have the USDA. So we do have, an inspection and a quality, you know, cushion between the meat itself and the slaughterhouse and what we're actually getting wrapped in plastic and, you know, or in cellophane in the store. But so it is inspected, and again, you do get what's called a grade. Grades usually go from the higher grade being prime, you'll see that, to kind of a standard, of a choice grade. And then after, and choice is just your standard, you know, cut that you're going to get. Prime is going to be a little more high quality, and then select, which is less. And when I say quality, I'm talking about, you know, the tenderness of it, the juiciness it's going to have, and the overall flavor. Because when you're looking at prime or choice, they're going to have more fat, more what we call marbling inside the meat itself. And that's going to produce something that's more juicy, something that's more tender, and of course something that's more flavorful. So when it comes to meat, you know, take a look at that, as far as in the store. And one more thing before I talk about the actual selecting of it. Most recipes you have, the proteins can be interchangeable. So kind of think about that. You might get something that's a, for example, might be a great pork stir fry. Well, that doesn't mean you can't take out the pork and put in beef. Or you can't take out the beef and put in shrimp. You know, and this comes to what we talked a little bit about last week about thinking outside the box. Come up with a recipe that you like, maybe a list of ingredients, but then maybe switch out the protein, especially in seafood. Anything that you can do with shrimp, you can do with scallops.
Or a fin fish.
Yeah, or a fin fish. Yeah, if you've got salmon, there's no reason you can't, you know, change out cod or halibut or maybe even trout. So just think about that, and you just dramatically increased your repertoire and your choices of different menu items that you have or different recipes that you can do.
Well, pretty much every recipe begins with one foundational element, whether it be a vegetable or a protein or even a starch. And the next layer is what sauce.
Yeah.
And then within that sauce, whatever seasonings are included usually take you in the direction of what part of the world or part of the country that you're going to. But, you know, you can take any foundational thing and change the sauce and take it in a new direction.
Yeah. And I'll usually take, first off and figure out how I want to cook. I'll say, okay, I want a grill. Or, wow, it's been a while since we've used our paella pan. Or I really want to do something with cast iron. So for me, it kind of comes from the equipment a lot. Or I really want to do something with this beautiful stainless steel pan that I have. Or again, it could be like a wok, you know. Wow, it's been a while since we've done something in a wok. Okay, well, what do we got? Well, we got some carrots, we got some celery, we got some onion, you know, we have some herbs, we have some ginger. Whoa, kind of sounds like we're going Asian. Oh, hey, we have some pork. Let's thin slice that. Hey, we got a marinade. We just have that aforementioned ginger, and we're going to use a little bit of fish sauce and a little bit of wasabi, maybe something that's going to give it a umami flavor, something like, you know, Worcestershire sauce. Fish sauce, of course, is very umami. It's like straight umami, like so much umami. You don't really want to use a whole lot of it, or your mommy might be complaining.
I think what's interesting, if you stop and thought about, hey, honey, let's go out to dinner. Where do you want to go? Think about the process you go through in deciding where you're going to go eat. Hey, do you feel like Chinese tonight? Do you feel like Mexican? A lot of times we will start there. Do you want to go Chinese? Do you want to go Mexican? Do you want to go Italian? And then a lot of times you'll get in there and go, you know what? I'm feeling like chicken, or I'm feeling like fish. And so think about the process you naturally go through in deciding to go out to eat, where you're going to say, hey, I just feel like fried chicken tonight. Yeah. And that's going to take you in a direction. So then you're probably, do you want to go American? Do you want to go Cajun? So probably ingredient-based first, or the direction of the flavor, whether it be, you know, Mexican, Italian, et cetera. Think about how you do it.
Yeah, and you know, when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, where do I want to go out to eat? I decide where I want to go, and then I go to the grocery store and I buy those products, and I come home and make it and save, you know, over 50%
of
the money.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, that's what we do.
Literally,
yeah,
we do.
Getting back to meat, as far as selecting meat, you always want to choose meats that are very rich and red in color. You don't want anything, any kind of gray, any kind of brown, anything like that, any kind of like brown splotches. I mean, it should be very, very, red. And kind of that deep red, rich color. I also look at the moisture that's in the container. If you've got a steak or a chicken or whatever you have, that juice that's in the wrapping, that's what we use the term purge. That's liquid that's been coming out of that protein. And that means if it's out of the protein, it's not in the protein, by a simple deduction of reasoning. And because it's not in the protein is not going to have as much flavor and as much moisture. So usually when something has a purge, that purge is always a sign that it's been sitting too long. So if you don't want to have all of that moisture in there. So if you see that, then that's going to be an indicator right off the bat that it's got, you know, less flavor in it.
So weird question then. So if you do have that purge, you've got the liquid coming out in the bottom of the packaging. Do you save that? Do you use that in sauces or anything, or do you just get rid of that?
Yeah, normally it's just, you're just going to rid yourself of it. And again, what you'd rather have that in the container itself. But then again, a lot of food is injected. Matter of fact, probably the majority of food is injected. Certainly the majority of chicken you get is injected.
With a saline solution?
Yeah, it's injected with a saline or a flavoring solution, so it's going to keep it more moist and add a little bit of flavor that wouldn't naturally be there. So, I mean, I'd prefer not. I'd prefer to add what I want to add. But you also want to look for meats that are firm to the touch. So when I say firm to the touch, when you touch it, it bounces back. It doesn't leave indentions where your fingers touched it. So you just lightly touch it, and it needs to spring back. If it's not springing back, then that's an indication that it's going to be older. If it's softer, you don't want it to be softer. And we talked about the purge. Be sure you're looking at that, and just look for something that's a high quality. Look at the date. The date on when it was packed. They're not going to give you the date on when it was slaughtered, but the date on when it was packed and then also the expiration date. Two really good indicators. If you don't see anything visually, that might be something to check as well.
Okay, now how about the sell-by date? No, the sell-by date isn't necessarily the last date of cook.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they'll call that a use-by date, and they'll put that on there. Some people will put that on there. If I get a use-by date, I'm probably not going to buy it unless it's something I'm like in the markdown bin and I'm going home and the barbecue's already hot. I know I'm going to cook. And also, I'll take those items and I'll make sure, for example, if I want a piece of salmon, I'll just make sure I cook it all the way through. If I know I got something right out of the water, something I caught myself, or something that's come from a trusted food monger, then I like my salmon more medium, medium rare, because I want to make sure that I'm tasting the fish.
So you want fish as close to the packaging day as possible, but beef, you can go a little bit further out. So if it is a sell-by date, let's say today, it was in this, sell-by today, then how many days do you possibly have most likely to cook it?
They always say that you're supposed to have a week, but I don't know that I would give it quite that long. I would just look for those indicators, the smell, the visual appearance of it, just look like it's getting older. I generally don't buy meats that are pre-seasoned at the store, because I think that that's generally, in the past at least, it's been a practice that they've used to kind of mask the flavor of the fact that the product's getting older. But then you can look at some things like most of the fish that's caught in the ocean is froze on the boat. So you're never going to get any fresher than that.
Yeah, I think I prefer to buy frozen fish that has not been thawed out. I mean, if it's caught on the boat, frozen right there, and processed and already cut, leave it frozen.
It's going to be a lot fresher than something that had to come in off from the boat, go onto the dock, go into a processing plant, be processed, be iced, and be sent to you. Yeah, it's going to be better. Something frozen on the boat's going to definitely be something that's going to be better. And then you're going to get into the doneness of it. Is it done? We've talked about this in the past. Make sure you have an InstaRead thermometer. Oven safe thermometers are fine if you're using a large roast, something you can insert into the roast. Think of it as the little pop out things that they have on the turkeys.
The
pop out to tell you when they're done. But when it comes to poultry, you can literally just stick a fork, a toothpick in it, and the juice, if it's running out cloudy, it's not hot enough. So it's not cooked all the way. So with beef, you want the juice to rise to the top. And with poultry, you want any juice coming out of the fish to be completely clear. So that's how we tell whether it's done. Again, get yourself an InstaRead thermometer. Make sure that you get food, you inspect it. You look at the quality grade of it. You look at the different indicators of freshness. Make sure that you handle it correctly. And make sure that you are careful through the cooking and seasoning and flavor process.
and have a specific cutting board set aside for that.
It's always a good thing, too. All right. Well, we do, as always, appreciate you listening. And where else can they find us besides Culinarily Yours?
Cooking Like a Pro podcast can be found on Apple and Spotify.
All right. So look us up. Check it out. We appreciate you tuning in. Have a wonderful day out there. Enjoy the rest of the week in this beautiful spring weather we have. God bless you. And have yourself a wonderful week. Take care from Cooking Like a Pro.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.